This is Pastor Ward. For this Lenten season, there is a sermon series. The sermon series is entitled Beyond Measure. I wanted to introduce this sermon series, so as I preach the next series of sermons during the Lenten season, you will have a better understanding of their titles and how each of these sermons fits with the theme Beyond Measure. The sermon for today comes to us from Luke chapter 15, beginning with the first verse. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So the father divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property on dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up, and I will go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder brother was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he got him home safe and sound." And then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with the elder son. But the elder son said to his father, "Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found." This morning, I'm going to share just a bit of my prodigal son story with you. And while the son was still far off, his father saw him and was deeply moved with compassion. His father ran and fell upon his son's neck, and he kissed him. I was very self-destructive and reckless in my late teens and into my early 20s. Although I was quite reckless before I started drinking, it was alcohol that fueled my careless behavior and many of my self-destructive patterns. In the summer of 1990, I had been binge drinking, and I took my brother's car out late one night, and on my way back home, I was pursued by the North Carolina Highway Patrol. After evading arrest for several miles, I wrecked my brother's car into a field and subsequently was chased on foot by one of the officers. I was taken to the county jail, and I remember making a phone call to my brother. The next morning, I awoke to find myself covered with a cheap blanket and lying on a hard bench in the holding cell.
Shortly, the deputy came with the keys, and I was let out. As I rounded the corner, I saw my mother speaking with the magistrate. No words were exchanged. Her glance spoke volumes. As we passed into the exiting corridor, I saw my father from a distance. What was he doing here? My mind began to race. Maybe my brother or my mother must have called him early this morning, and he made his way from where he lived to Albemarle, which is about a 3-hour drive by car. We all walked down the corridor toward the exit door, and my mother, in her great concern, began a quick succession of questions. At that moment, I began to feel the weight, the extreme weight of all that had happened. Then the door in front of me opened, and the light of the mid-morning enveloped me. As I took several steps away from the door, I felt my father's arm come over my shoulder and pull me close. And then I heard my father's voice. "It's going to be all right. I love you, Ward." I tried to swallow hard, but the heat of the tears began to fall down my cheeks. And my father held me as I sobbed in the mid-morning light on the sidewalk outside the Stanley County Jail. Here I was, a self-destructive and reckless young man being held by my father, who had more wounds from his life than he cared to share. Being held by my father, who was far more reckless, far more prodigal with the grace he had been shown by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ than anyone I've ever known. A father who was far more extravagant with his love. And while the son was still far off, his father saw him and was deeply moved with compassion. His father ran and fell upon his son's neck and kissed him. Amen.
On measure.